Zach, the case of Daniel Penny, it has made headlines for over a year now, finally reached a conclusion this past week. But for our listeners who may not be familiar with the case, tell us the saga of Daniel Penny.
Yeah, Daniel Penny, he was riding the subway in New York City when a young man who was mentally disturbed boarded the train. That young man's name was Jordan Neely, and essentially began threatening other passengers, threatening them, saying he's going to kill them, a host of horrendous things. And if you listen to what the other passengers on that train say they were fearful for their own safety and the safety of their family members who were riding that train with Jordan Neely. Well, Daniel Penny also happened to be on that subway car, and he intervened, and he put Jordan Neely in a chokehold. Now, tragically, Jordan Neely ended up passing away after that encounter with Daniel Penny, and Alvin Bragg, the so-called progressive prosecutor in Manhattan, decided to charge Daniel Penny with manslaughter, essentially. Either manslaughter or negligent homicide was a lesser charge in the indictment against Daniel Penny. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, for the past year and a half or so, this charge has been hanging over Daniel Penny's head until the trial, which recently concluded, took place. And we just learned recently that Daniel Penny's fellow New Yorkers thought he committed no crime and acquitted him at that trial.
A little bit of background here on Daniel Penny. I understand that he is a retired Marine. I understand there's never a former Marine. There's a retired Marine. So the fact that he jumped into action whenever he saw this, wouldn't that be entirely consistent with the training and culture of service that the Marine Corps instills in its members?
Well, I would certainly think so. And look, I think everyone recognized Daniel Penny. He was not out looking for a fight. He was not looking for trouble. He was simply at, I guess, the right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the wrong time, depending on your perspective, where he was able to intervene. And what really stood out to me is if you watch the body cam footage of the fellow passengers on the train who were being interviewed after this incident took place, they said they were thankful that Daniel Penny intervened. They thought he prevented further harm to them and their family members, prevented further violence from happening. And what is interesting, what we found out at trial, is even though Daniel Penny put Jordan Neely in a chokehold, when police officers arrived on the scene, Jordan Neely was still breathing. He was still alive. And unfortunately, he passed away after that. But look, I think any reasonable prosecutor looking at this case would not only not have charged Daniel Penny, but probably would have thanked him for protecting his community in the way that he did.
So not only did Alvin Bragg bring about these charges, which were completely unfounded, the problems got compounded, Zach, did they not, with the judge and the way the prosecutor prosecuted this case?
Yeah, they did, absolutely. And look, I think there were a number of inflammatory statements that Alvin Bragg's assistant made at the trial that would have presented very good appellate issues if Daniel Penny had, in fact, been convicted, which fortunately he was not. But then there was also an oddity. When the judge gave the jury instructions to the jury, told them what the applicable law was, sent them back to deliberate, the jury came back and said they couldn't reach a verdict. Now, what was odd is that at that point, the prosecution moved to dismiss the most serious charge and asked the judge to essentially send the jury back to only deliberate on the lesser charge, the negligent homicide charge, which is what the jury actually acquitted Daniel Penny of. But the fact that the prosecution dismissed the charge, that the judge sent them back again on only the lesser included charge, that entire sequence of events was very odd. But fortunately for Daniel Penny, his fellow New Yorkers reached the right conclusion and again found that he committed no crime.
At the end of the day, justice was done for Daniel Penny. But, Zach, as we look at what this guy, who really was a hero, went through for the last year and a half, does this have a chilling effect going forward of people who may find themselves in a situation where they need to come to the aid of somebody, but is it going to cause them to have second thoughts that if I actually help, am I going to end up charged and go through the court system?
Yeah, absolutely. I think any reasonable person who's watched this entire saga play out is now going to think twice before they help their fellow citizens. Look, even though the jury in New York reached the right verdict and acquitted Daniel Penny, keep in mind, he's had to spend untold months of stress dealing with this trial, preparing for this trial, untold amounts of money, retaining lawyers, going through the motion practice leading up to the trial. And unfortunately for Daniel Penny, the saga is not over yet, because we now know that Jordan Neely's father, who was not particularly close to his son, is now going to sue Daniel Penny civilly. And so Daniel Penny and his family are going to have to litigate that case, likely for the foreseeable future as well, adding more stress, more cost onto this entire ordeal. And so, unfortunately, I think many people are going to be much, much more hesitant now to come to the aid of their fellow citizens when those citizens often need it the most.
Well, we owe a debt of gratitude to Daniel Penny for his heroic actions. Getting back to Alvin Bragg, you, of course, have written a book about rogue prosecutors. Alvin Bragg appears to be foremost among them, does he not?
Yes, he certainly has been the most aggressive in putting out policies not to prosecute repeat violent offenders, not to seek to hold individuals accountable, even when they commit violent crimes in their communities. And if you looked at the cases that Alvin Bragg has decided to pursue, the Daniel Penny case, the case against the bodega owner who acted in self-defense, and then, of course, the case against Donald Trump, I think many New Yorkers are rightly asking why Alvin Bragg is wasting his limited time and resources pursuing these political cases when he's not doing the basic blocking and tackling needed to keep their community safe.
Zach Smith is a senior legal counsel at the Heritage Foundation. Zach, I referenced your book, Rogue Prosecutors. Tell us just a little bit about the book, where folks can get it, and also tell us a bit about Heritage Foundation.
Heritage Foundation, we're a conservative think tank in Washington, D.C. We do policy, not politics. You can find out what Heritage is working on at heritage.org. Now, the book, one of my colleagues and I, we wrote a book on rogue prosecutors where we outlined the ideological underpinnings of the progressive prosecution movement, the funding of the movement, and then we highlighted eight different rogue prosecutors who we thought were the most egregious examples of prosecutorial policies gone wrong. And unfortunately, Alvin Bragg is one of the prosecutors that we devoted an entire chapter to in our book, highlighting his policies and how they've harmed the citizens of New York. You can find that at heritage.org. You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And for more information about Alvin Bragg and what Heritage is working on in general as well, you can also follow me on X. It is at TZ Smith. That's at TZ Smith on X, formerly Twitter.
Zach Smith, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Zach, thank you for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.